Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, it is almost playoff time. We are getting ready for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Before we do that, we have one more event to get to the top 125. It's the Wyndham Championship, and we're going to break that down in just a second. But Skeeter, first things first, we have to take a look backwards, and Tony Finau has gone from can't quite get it done to get out of his way, as he's gotten it done two times in a row now. Skeeter, what are we taking away from the 3M, then the Rocket Mortgage, and then what are we putting forward to maybe this end and even into the playoffs with what we're learning here recently?
It's Finau's world right now. We're just all living in it. Yeah, I mean, he kind of took care of business in Minnesota as he was supposed to do. That was a wild turn of the guys kind of jumping up and down. And who did I have? I had somebody at the end, but I mean, I didn't do anything there. And I had a 5-6 last week. It was not a good 5-6. Like, I had Mark Hubbard, who was like two shots ahead of the cut line, and then he just had a horrible Friday to miss the cut to prevent my 6-6. But so that didn't work out very well. But no, I mean, yeah, Finau, who got couldn't win a tournament, has now won three times in the past calendar year, back to back. Kind of fits. Was he the third guy to win back to back? Xander and Scheffler.
Scheffler. Did he win three in a row? Obviously not three tournaments in a row, but three of his starts in a row.
Right.
I could be wrong about that, but yeah, Xander won two in a row and.
Has Sam Burns won twice this season too? Because did he win in the fall?
Did he repeat at Valspar this year?
Yes, he did. And did he win?
That's the one that I can name for you. I can't name another one. But he might have.
I mean, it's hard to remember what I did last week, let alone who won a golf tournament in the fall. But
it's hard to remember who's winning when I can only remember who I bet on that lost.
Well, yes, that's also fair because. Yeah, Sam Burns won Sanderson Farms, so.
Okay.
So we have a few other guys who can maybe try to get their second win this season this week if things work out well. So, yeah, I don't have much else. I didn't get to watch much as I was out at the National Sports Card Show in Atlantic City and didn't get to watch a ton, but I was following it a little bit. I had a chance like a Kurt Kitayama top 10, but then I think he went in like a four-hole bogey streak on Sunday to kind of kill any chance at the top 10. I'm like, yeah, well, that was fun. So, nothing for me.
I think you hit it, though. It's now Finau time, and I'm going to be very interested in what goes on in the next couple of weeks. Finau learns to win. Does Finau get greedy and keep winning and push through the FedEx Cup playoffs? That is for next week, though. Skeeter, for this week, it's the Wyndham Championship, and we get ourselves another par 70, 7,100 yards. What do you make from the Sedgefield Country Club in Greensboro, North Carolina, where Webb Simpson clearly has good luck?
Yeah, is this officially the Webb Simpson Invitational?
It kind of is. Doesn't he have a kid named Wyndham?
Like, I dead thought serious? There was, yes, I, that sounds right. I knew there was some connection to this tournament.
And is this the place where he more or less lives, too?
It's in a general area. I mean, this is part of that whole Southeast U.S. Clan, like, everybody in the Sea Island Mafia. I mean, because we see correlations with RSM. We see it with Heritage. I don't think Wells Fargo has a huge correlation. Colonial's another one. It's just an old, traditional, tree-lined course. He said par 70, 7,100 yards. A few years ago, Brant Snedeker shot 59 here on Thursday. And if you remember, he might have like one shot back or tied with CT Pan. CT Pan, I think, put one out of bounds on 18.
I remember the 59, but I don't really remember how it finished. But I do remember the 59.
Yeah, so past winners here. You mentioned Webb, Snedeker is one, Camilo Villegas, boy, I don't remember that one back in the day, Ryan Moore. DL3, that was like out of nowhere too. Henrik Stenson play here shockingly in 2017. Nobody understood why he won. JT Poston, yeah, he kind of fits that one. And of course, 2 years ago.
Oh.
I think you remember who won 2 years ago.
I do remember who won 2 years ago.
501?
Cincinnati's own. The Herminator, Jim Herman.
Yeah, see, Patrick Reeves won here. Well, Kisner last year, Sergio's won here. Yeah, as I was telling you before the show, boy, some of the best course history guys are now on the LIV Tour. Maybe they need to find a way to play Sedgefield as well. Siwoo Kim, and boy, he's got another remarkable history here. So, yeah, it's interesting. There's some guys with good course history, but yet we've seen some kind of, I won't say random guys, but guys middle tier below kind of pop up and win. So a lot's going to be made about the top 125 this week. Speaking of LIV, boy, if you're like 115 to 125, how happy are you that some of those, you know, like the Taylor Gooches, Dustins, Nas of the world, Reed, are, you know, went because they got removed from the FedEx Cup, because now all of a sudden you're either in contention or you're safely in because that they're not, their scores didn't count?
You're probably pretty happy. I don't know. Maybe you're one of those ultra competitive people that doesn't feel as good about it because the best of the best weren't all in the field, but I'd be pretty happy about getting in the one top 125 and, you know, advancing my career in a positive way. I'd imagine most are.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not paying any attention to like, oh, who's one, you know, who's 120 through 129 this week? You know, that just doesn't, you know, Ricky Fowler is going to get some talk. I believe he's like 123 or something around there. And, you know, he's not going to be any more motivated to play this week than he has any other week. You know, it's just, you know, maybe additional pressure. Like, maybe if you get to Sunday, maybe that means something. But, and there's always like some guy who is like, basically needs like a top five finish to get their tour card that finds their way into like the final few groups on Sunday. So, you know, that, you can look at that then. But other than that, course history does play a little bit of a role here. Stat-wise, ball striking, drives, fairly rough. Fairways are tough to hit, but the rough isn't awful, so it's not exactly penal, but you probably don't want to end up in it. We've seen minus two kind of be a popular cut line, so I think you need birdies and some chances at birdies. Par fours, there's eight of the 12 par fours are from 400 to 450 yards, which also then leads to the most popular proximity range, 150-175. So yeah, this is the last full 156-person field until September. Because next week when they go to Memphis, it's top 125. So we're, you know, this is the final stretch of the regular season for golf before we enter our, I think, what it is, final fall swing?
I am with you. And by the way, you're not going to pay attention to it as much as maybe I will. Webb Simpson currently 126th in the FedEx Cup standings. That is, of course, I'm looking at standings that have the LIV guys in there. So he should be in. Charlie Hoffman, for those interested, 159. He needs a big week.
Yes, yes. And Webb, I'm sure, has some other sorts of exemptions that he probably has he won the past 2 years.
Was it 3 years ago that he won three times? I feel like those wins are all in the rear view now by a little bit.
I'm sure he still has some sort of other exemption that he could. Oh, no, he won. Yeah, he won Heritage in 20. So, yeah, he's good for. I think he's good for next year. That's right. I forgot about Heritage. That was the one. right out of COVID. Pat Mayo's friend, Tim Anderson, who has an ability to curse things, tweeted out right before the Heritage that anybody betting on Webb was throwing money and was burning their money. It had the gif of like the old lady sitting in the chair with bundles of money and just throwing them in the fire. So everybody bet Webb because of that, and Webb wins and made everybody happy. So
nice. I was on Webb that week, too. I think Tyrrell Hatton also got me a top six that week.
I think I played Hatton. I don't remember. I probably didn't play Webb. I don't remember.
Back when I used to cash.
I mean, I remember the following week at Travelers, when the Streelman won 75-1 that DJ killed. Yeah, Dustin Johnson killed a lot of me in 2020. Streelman at 175, and then my whatever, I had Cam Smith at the Masters.
Well, fortunately, neither one of them are in this field today.
No, and you know, I can live with myself that Dustin Johnson can't kill me anymore.
I get what you're saying there. I see what you did there. Skeeter, are we ready to get into this field?
Sure. It's amazing how much we talk about how we try to fit in those Lyft references. You know, I'm not a fan of the tour. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but
I haven't watched it yet, so I don't really have any. Yeah. As far as the actual golf goes, I have no idea because I haven't watched any of it yet.
Yep, same here. So, yeah, no, I'm ready to go.
Well, let's start with this field, and we'll start at the top, and it's the 10K plus tier. It starts with Will Zalatoris at 10-9, Webb Simpson 10-7, Shane Lowry 10-6, Sung J.M. 10-5, Billy Horschel 10-3. Skeeter, where are you going? Who's your favorite here?
This is an interesting range. Like, first of all, it's finally nice to see there's more than three guys in the 10K plus tier this week. The past 2 weeks, we haven't seen that. But I think for me, it's Shane Lowry. I mean, he's just playing too good. I mean, when I look at my stats for the past 36 rounds, number one, par five strokes gained. Like, I know there's only two, but it's still, that's where you can do a lot of damage at. Second good drives, third in approach, fourth in ball striking. Everything is up there. Putting from 5 to 10 feet is the only kind of one that's not, he's not elite, but he's still above average. That I don't know if he's, has he played here?
He has not played here a ton. Oh, yeah, in 2020, he was 23rd. He was 7th in 2017.
Okay. But I mean, he's just a guy, like, it's amazing he hasn't won yet this year. He's come close, but he just rates out so well across all models. Really helpful for me. 10-6, I think, is a fair price on him, so for me, give me Shane Lowry.
He's my favorite too. I don't know if we're gonna are there courses we can consider comp courses to this place.
I kind of think Heritage, Colonial.
I figured as much.
You know, maybe even RSM. There's been some crossover. Again, that's probably more the Southeast. You know, all these guys who grew up in the Carolinas and Georgia. You know, kind of that same region of the U.S. I mean. Maybe Sony. It's another.
I was thinking Honda, but I was going with a different par 70.
Yeah, Honda. I mean, certainly Honda's a tough one 70. Too. Let me try to think. Let me go back to my winners here. People who've played Honda. How's Ricky done here? Because Ricky's played well at Honda. He's only played here twice. I don't remember all my Honda winners. Luke List, who played well. Yeah.
Sung JM has played both well.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we're
gonna chat. Which is where I'm going soon, I think.
Well, is he your second favorite? Because he's mine.
He is, and I know Lowry was very good at Honda this year. So Lowry's my favorite. And yeah, Sungjae's my two.
Yeah. Sungjae's history is just really good for never winning here. Three appearances, 24th, 9th, and 6th. Like, that's just solid, and he's kind of maybe starting to get over whatever the heck he had back in May, whether he had COVID or was restricted because of close contact, whatever. But he had shown signs, even kind of right out of that, that he kind of went through a tough stretch with the majors. But in last week, second in the 3M, approach was great, off the tee was great, putting was great. Like, he was neutral around the green. Around the green does not matter a ton here. It's very low correlated compared to the other stats. So, you know, he's maybe starting to figure some things out again. 10-5 with that great history as well. I mean, that's why he's there. He's number one in the par 4 range for 400, 450. So, yeah, give me some Sungjae.
Well, you and I agree on 1 and 2. Who are you fading?
Not the most confident fade I'm ever going to have. I'm going to go to the top of the board, Willie Z. He had a nice Sunday rally yesterday, like, because I played him. So he kind of rallied a little bit, but it's just, I don't want to say this. Is he kind of the Brooks Koepka light of years ago, where it's only the majors that he kind of gets up for?
He's new Xander, because Brooks won majors. He's new Xander. He doesn't compete except for in the big games, and I'm not paying up for him. Willie Z's not my fade. Actually, Webb's going to be my fade. I assume he'll be highly owned, given his great course history. But Willie Z is the new Xander. Great player. He is always there at the finish line, has not crossed the finish line yet, and certainly shows up at these majors more than he does And so Brooks Light is what I think, not me only, but was kind of a name for Xander. Willie Z's new Xander.
Okay, let me see if I can change your fade. Early on Monday, so this is Monday night where I'm looking at this, on Fantasy National, Webb is the lowest projected owned at 11%.
That's hard to believe.
Would you like to guess who the most popular person in this tier is?
Sung JM?
Yes.
It's hard to believe that Webb's the most this is. I mean, dude, I may have to transition to a little Webbage then, because if he's low owned, like, dude, the contest I was in last week, Patrick Cantlay was like 35% owned. Oh, and I thought, well, cool, I'm overboard because I'm 60%. And I don't know if it would have mattered much anyway, considering I only had 1-6 of 6 out of 10 lineups, but maybe it is Webb that I'm going to go to. I mean, right now, my thought is fade him because of ownership, but maybe that's the exact opposite.
I mean, he had been showing signs of playing better than he missed the cut to John Deere, but again, I mean, my gosh, you want to talk about some of the most immaculate course history. One here in 2011, I have everything back through 2013, hasn't missed a cut. His worst finish was 72nd 2016. That's the outlier.
Mm-hmm.
Throw that out. Since 2013, his worst, you know, outside of the 72nd, his worst finish is 11th, and he plays here every year. Like, that's insane. Like, this is better than Luke Donald at Heritage. This is better than Zach Johnson and Steve Stricker at John Deere. I mean, there's somebody else, I think. I forget who my other course history.
It's better than Scott Brown at the John Deere. It's better than Brendan Steele at the Honda. It's better than Jason Day at Pebble Beach.
Spieth at Pebble, yeah. Well, I like how we incorporate three players with good John Deere history. See, we still talk about John Deere.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, boy, yeah, if Simpson's going to be, if nobody's using Simpson, or he's going to be the lowest of these five, absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. That's something I'm going to keep my eye on. Like,
Webb's half as popular as Sungjae, I'm using Webb and I'm not using Sungjae. Lowry, I'm pretty sure I'm using regardless.
I'm interested to see how these trends continue. As we record this here on a Monday night, are you ready to take it to 9K?
Yes.
And a smaller 9K tier, Russ Henley's 98, Corey Connors 96, Tyrrell Hatton 94, Adam Scott 92, HV3 9K even. Skeeter, where are you going here? Who's your favorite?
Got a few options here, but I mean, my guy, number one in my stat model, Russ Henley, 9,800. He's number one in approach over 36 rounds. He's top 10 in ball striking, opportunities gained. Par 4 from 400, 450. Par 5, he's 11th in proximity. His Achilles heel, shocker, the putter. Not great. Rates out really well across all models, long-term, short-term. Has a decent history here as well. Let me pull it up because I saw that earlier. Yeah, 7th and 9th the past 2 years, only one missed cut in five appearances here. 9,800, he's going to be popular, he's already popping, but there's a good reason for it, so it doesn't take much for me to get on Russell Henley, who also has played Sony pretty well.
I'm going to Adam Scott, 9,200, starting to see some good play from him. Was in this playoff last year and would have been the champion if he could make a short putt, which we know Adam Scott. If you need somebody to miss a four-footer, you better hope it's Adam Scott. I'd rather, I'd rather him make some putts this week because I'm going to turn to him. But I like Adam Scott a lot at 9,200. He seems to be turning my eye. I've even clicked his name in the old underdog quick drafts over there for the Pup Cup. Is that what I'm playing in?
I didn't get into those, but yeah. Yeah, he rates out really well across all models as well. And he said his... I remember last year, like, why is Adam Scott playing here? Like, this was really odd. Like, he had been like 5 years and he should have won it. So yeah, I'm with you. We're in the Carolinas and he's had a nice year. Maybe he can finally win one on U.S. soil. Maybe it's the new Louis version, except he's American. HV3 has a couple top tens here. Has made 5 straight cuts. What's it? East Carolina. I'm assuming he's from the Carolina area, but
he's from that area.
Okay, but I mean, he rates out 5th in approach, 4th in opportunities gained, 8th birdies or better, 2nd par 5 strokes gained. again, outside the putter, which is slightly below average, everything else is either really above average or slightly above average. So I think at $9K, it's a fair salary for him.
I'm struggling here with my number two. I want to use Tyrrell Hatton. There is no course history. He's a wonderful player who seems to be coming to life a little bit. Was that the case of him being back over in the UK or not? I don't know. I think I'm going to turn to Tyrrell Hatton here as my number two, 9,400.
He's my fade. He's gotten a little too, you know, upset at courses this year, and you know, which of course I sit there and laugh at, but it's probably not the best. Yeah. But yeah, good Open, good Scottish Open, good PGA. But outside of that, I mean, outside of the Arnold Palmer, he's been okay. He's making cuts, but he just doesn't have all the finishes I really want to see from him. And I don't know on Tyrrell Hatton. He'll be one of, hey, if he's in the final group and I have no, or if he's in the final couple of groups and I have nothing going on, DraftKings or bets, I'm absolutely rooting for him, but I'm just not playing him.
I don't really have a fade. Okay. Do you?
It's Hatton.
Well, you just said Hatton. Never mind. I just asked you a question to the answer you gave me. I'm an idiot.
That's all right.
I don't really have a fade. I mean, I can see why you would fade Hatton, too. No real course history here. I like Harold. Henley's course history here is great, and he's coming on hot. Corey Connors makes sense here as well. I mean, he's my fifth-rated player, so by theory, he's my fade. But I could see myself using Corey Connors here, too. I mean, I could legitimately use all five guys here.
Yeah, and, you know, this is going to be an interesting build this week, too, because, like, do I want to start in the nines? Do I start in the tens? I might have to play around with this because there's an 8K tier that's, I think, is fairly deep.
I would agree with that. Are you ready to get into this 8K tier?
Yes.
Well, there are plenty of choices. Denny McCarthy's 89, Siwoo Kim, 88, Kevin Kisner's 87. Is this Tom Kim? Is this Joo Young Kim? Is it both?
Both, yeah.
All right. I'm going to say Joo Young Kim for anybody following along on DraftKings, although they do say he goes by Tom. 8,600. Taylor Pendrith, 85. Christian Bezuidenhout, 84. Brian Harman's 83. JT Poston, 82. Aaron Wise, 81. Justin Rose and Davis Riley, 8K even. Skeeter, we do have plenty of choices here. Who are you turning to?
Oh, boy. Well, we say this is a Webb Simpson Invitational, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's secondary choice. We don't want to call it, you know, if we want to, you know, maybe somebody else who probably can get in that conversation. Siwoo Kim. You want to talk about immaculate course history. He's played here, what, seven times since 2013. He missed it in 2013. He missed in 2018. His other results, win in 2016, past 3 years, fifth, third, second. Like, there's something about this course that suits Siwoo's eye. I don't really care about his recent stats, which is good par five. Good putter, not so great in opportunities gained, not so great in proximity from 150 to 135. We've seen enough of Siwoo that he doesn't need much form coming in. 8,800 is probably a fair number. Like, I realize McCarthy's playing better. I like Varner. I don't mind Scott. I don't mind Hatton. I think Siwoo's underpriced here for his course history.
I like Siwoo as well. I'm not going to go with him as my favorite, but he's played well two in a row. And as you said, there are certain courses when it fits his eye, he plays well, and this is one of them. So I'm not going to take him as my favorite as well, but he certainly could be. There's a couple guys I like. I truly don't know that I have a favorite. It could come down to like three different guys that I use 3 out of 10 times here. I'll start at the bottom, the cheapest one, and that'll be my favorite because he's cheaper. JT Poston. He's won this tournament before, and he has just shown some signs of life, and it wasn't just the win at John Deere, but he was second at Travelers before that, and then he went to the Open and acquitted himself okay with a pair of plus ones, and then he went to the three Open and was T11, so JT Poston, who's been playing pretty darn good, is the cheapest of the three I think I like, besides your guy Siwoo here. He'll be my favorite.
Yeah, putter's been well for him, and that's how he gained everything at 3M. He did lose on approach, but was really good at John Deere, really good at Travelers. But, yeah, I mean, former winner here, fifth in birdies or better, gained number one in that proximity range for 400 or 450. Absolutely, I'm on him.
Who else you got besides Siwoo in here?
Again, I mean, I don't know what course history plays here, but Kevin Kisner He's played here five times, defending champion, four top tens, 42nd the other time. Like, and he has at least shown some signs recently. He's kind of been hit or miss. Like, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. But this is a Kisner course if there ever was one. Short tree line, 21st of the Open, 6th at Travelers. Missed at Rocket Mortgage. Didn't really do anything terrible, just missed the cut. Doesn't bother me. I don't think he had a ton of form coming in here last year. Good par 5, or past 36 rounds, but 8700 does feel a little pricey on him, but with that course history, it's hard for me to ignore.
Kisner's got to be in play as well. Defending champ, cashed a ticket on him last year. Oh, it feels like forever ago. Oh, it was. I'm going to go with Denny McCarthy at 8,900. After he made the great run at the U.S. Open, missed the cut at the Travelers, rebounded well at the Deer. He missed the cut at Rocket Mortgage at even par, a minus one and a plus one. I'm going to take some chances with Denny McCarthy here at 8,900. Right now I'm looking at him 33-1 as a guy I'm considering to open my betting ticket along with Tyrrell Hatton at 33-1. And Denny McCarthy's had some decent success here, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 15th last year, 9th, 22nd, 36th. So not a little. Denny McCarthy's had a nice run of success, and he's had three top 10s here lately. Not here, but in his run.
Right, yeah. No, I know he's playing well. It's just a matter of, like, am I really playing him over Siwoo or Kisner? Or, you know, if I get an extra $100 to play HV3 or $300 to Scott, like, he's in that sandwich pricing for me that just... I'm not going there.
Anyone else here you want to talk positively about?
I mean, Aaron Wise keeps popping in stats.
I like him. He's not as hot as he was a little bit ago.
No, but really good ball strike, really good birdie is an opportunity gain. It's the putter again that kind of lets him down, but he's three starts here, 46 missed cuts, 48, so not great, but he still catches my eye a little bit. Two guys that I initially starred, but it's just like, I can't play everybody in this AK range. Brian Harman.
Mm-hmm.
History.
I like him.
I don't mind him, but it just eventually got to the point where, like, I can't play all these guys, and his course history is not overly great. And then Davis Riley, you know, has kind of struggled recently, but he still rates up really well stat-wise. So those were two guys that kind of popped a little bit, but I just, you know, just run out of room.
I only put him in one lineup last week, and I was regretting it. I mean, after the T2, Rocket Mortgage, Taylor Pendrith's going to be in my eye, too. So that's one more player in the positive I think I'll be looking at.
I mean, there's only really two guys I'm not considering, because, I mean, even Tom Kim has been playing really well, and I think he has enough – he's got that special temporary membership, so he'll be playing next year or so on the PGA Tour, so – I mean, just you could ride a form with him as well, but I'm not sure I'd go back to Pendrith. Like, I want to see consistency out of him. My fade is going to be Bazenhout.
That's actually my fade, too.
I mean, Justin Rose, I think, has actually played well here before, and he still actually rates out well in birdies and the key distances. And Bazenhout's just, I mean, he's not a strong fade for me, but he just kind of... He tends to be a little putter reliance, and that's just not something I really want to do here, especially when there's so many guys around him I like. So he's just another one, like Denny McCarthy, is kind of a victim of his pricing.
Are we ready to go 7K?
Who's your fade? Is it Bazenhout?
Oh, it's Bazenhout is mine as well, yeah.
Okay.
Then, yes. I mean, I won't play the vampire. Let's get serious here, but Bazenhout is my fade.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, well, the last time I tried playing the vampire, he withdrew, so that was fun.
7K, Skeeter, we got ourselves a few options here. Is there somebody that stands out to you?
Nobody really stands out to me, but there's, of course, kind of the theme, like the 8K is just guys I kind of want to play here. And let me pull this up here a minute. Time to go back to Scott Stallings.
He's one of my plays. Yeah, absolutely. He's been playing very well.
Good ball striking. He'll make some birdies. I'm flipping back between window tabs. So this is I get myself confused sometimes. Has he played here? Not a great history, but he does have a 42nd, 31st. Seems to be playing okay. So He's one game looking at 7,800. Kevin Streelman pops again. Like I used him last week. He was okay. Made a cut. I think he actually went birdie-birdie on his last two holes to make sure that he made the cut. So, good proximity from 150 to 175. Good opportunities gained. Good in the good drives category. I thought he had an okay little history here as well. Seventh last year.
Yeah, the Kevins all have good history here, don't they?
Not Kevin Chappell. Not Kevin Stadler, but yes. Kisner, Nah, who's living it up over on the Live, and Streelman with a seventh last year.
I guess that's not really good course history. He had a good year last year.
Hey, top ten is good enough for me.
I agree. I have him as on my list as well.
And then he lost the playoff at the Barbasol, so it's just 7,600 is just like, okay, I can throw him in the lineups.
I love Kisner when he's at that price. Streelman when he's at that price.
Well, I like Kisner. Well, depending on the course, Kisner's 7,600 at Heritage, absolutely.
I think I'm going down to 7,300, Callum Tarran.
Yeah, he's on my radar, too.
I had him in a few lineups last week. I think I had him in four lineups last week. The price has barely gone up. He was T20. He was a little shaky on Saturday. Shot a plus one, but... I mean, I'm going to turn right back to him. I have no idea course history. There is, it doesn't appear to be any.
No, I don't think he's played. But, yeah, 6th at Deer, 7th at 3M, good irons. Good irons last week. Doesn't really do anything. Missed on a number at the Scottish. So, yeah, he's had a nice summer, which is probably helping get his tour card.
Yeah, and I think he's right there on that bubble for 125, too, really? By the way.
I would have thought he'd be better than that.
Actually, no. I take that back. He's more around the 70 bubble. Where is he at? He's at 118, so he's a little further back than I thought. 118. So he's right in that number. Yes, because I've been doing these underdog pup cup drafts where, you know, six people draft 10-round teams, and he's one of those guys I'm taking at the end, hoping that he gets at least into the second round of the playoffs and trying to be contrarian there a little bit, Skeeter.
Well, I mean, he's playing well enough, and we sometimes see these guys who carry the form, so I don't hate it.
But I think he's my favorite. I love that cheap price. Brennan Todd on a par 70 is always somebody I'm going to take a look at. So no surprise, I will take a look at him here as well.
Has he done much here?
He does not have a history here like he does at the other par 70s, but he was 10th last year. And then if you want to go all the way back to 2013, he finished 26th. There's three missed cuts in between there.
Okay.
So Brennan Todd, I played him earlier in the year, when the PGA was at a par 70, and we kind of had a run, maybe Colonial, and there was just a few times, and I kept playing him, and he never disappointed me. I'm not saying he was great, but he was always okay.
Okay. We're already forming some chalk here in the mid-sevens. Would you like to guess... Same price as Brendan Todd, who the most popular play right now is going to be?
Svensson?
Yes.
Well, I'll transition to Todd for you then.
He rates out so well.
I had him written down, Svensson as well, for sure.
Second birdies are better. Third net par 4 from 400, 450. Yeah, he's just solid all across the board, but at some point I'm just not playing him. Martin Laird kind of pops up a little bit in the long-term models. Good par 4, good 150 to 175 player. But the other guy who I want to chat a little bit about who's going to really pop in the short-term models, coming off a, 56th at Travelers, 24th at John Deere, 21st at Barbasol, 6th at Rocket Mortgage, Taylor Moore is putting in some good finishes. His off the tee is phenomenal. His approach is starting to figure out. Around the green hand, good putter as well, so... He's trending in the right direction. I like him a little bit here at 7,300. Again, if you're looking at stats, he's not going to be in the short-term models, but short-term models, he's there.
Well, I'll certainly take a peek at him. I'm always looking for a little help. I can always use more good players. All right, I think we let that one hang long enough.
I was not responding to that one. I'm not going to give you any satisfaction on that one.
There's another guy I liked up top, Mark Hubbard. I know you talked about him as, I think you said burning you last week, but is there a reason to get back onto him? I mean, outside of last week, he had been good, and his course history is decent here as well.
Let's see. He lost 1.5 strokes putting. Well, that's about right. Yeah, no, and He has a star. I had him start, so I'm ready. I'm ready to go there.
Okay, I will go back there. What about CT Pan?
He's playing well here, but he just has not done anything recently. He raised out very poorly in short stats. Missed horribly at Rocket Mortgage. 31st at 3M, but he lost on. He was bad on approach. 24th at John Deere. He couldn't chip, which is, I mean, I couldn't chip at John Deere, but I'm not a professional, so. And missed at Travelers. He's kind of all over the place recently. Like, I understand it. I don't think I'm going to get there, but if I need somebody, I have no problem with that. I mean, if this was a TPC course, I'd be using KH Lee, but it's not TPC Sedgefield, so never mind.
I've got another one I'll ask you about, and if I'm asking you, that means I'm interested in these guys. Patrick Rogers.
I feel like he's your guy. He's becoming one of your guys. I feel like you mention him every week.
I guess he just hasn't given me a reason to dislike him yet.
Miss a Genesis, miss a Memorial. Other than that, everything's kind of top 30, top 40-ish. I get it.
He mostly makes cuts here. He missed the cut last year. He's never been great here, minus a 24th, but...
Yeah, I get it. I guess I'd just rather, in that same price range, I just want a cut maker. I've had, maybe just because I've had a little more success with him, especially recently. Tyler Duncan, who's been consistent with his approach. I like him just overall a little bit better than Patrick Rogers, but I guess we're talking about the same guy. I mean, I know Rogers is 100 more, but whatever. One other guy who seems to, I think I've starred him a week or two ago, didn't play him. 16th at 3M, 44th at Rocket Mortgage, role reversal, 3M, great at irons, couldn't make a putt. Last week, irons not great, made a lot of putts. Lee Hodges?
I can get down with it.
I mean, he's made six of his last seven cuts. He missed at Barbasol, shockingly. Mm-hmm. But irons have been there for the most part. Off the tee is solid. Putting's kind of not been there. But 7,100, I have no idea if he's played here before. But he seems to be riding some decent form. Yeah, I do not see any course history for Lee Hodges.
I lied. I'll ask you about one more guy. Grayson Sig busted me last week, but he fielded so good, he didn't feel good at all. He felt like a really good play, and I kind of get the feeling that maybe some people who are riding him get burnt and go away. He was running good form before missing the cut at Rocket Mortgage. Could you turn to Grayson Sig at 7,100?
Sure. Yeah, his irons kind of went away last week. He'd been really good prior to that. Off the tee, I mean, it just looks like he just had a bad week at Rocket Mortgage. It's going to happen.
I like that price a lot, man. But like I said, I was way overexposed last week, and for some reason, I'm not upset about it. I guess I'm numb now.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. like Matt Wallace is what I looked at, but his is 10th at Rocket Mortgage, 26th at 3M in the past 2 weeks. That's been all putter, so that worries me a little bit because he's not exactly traditionally a strong putter. Ches Reavie kind of is another one that popped a little bit, but I don't
kind know of a course fit, right? He's played well here too.
Has he? Okay. Yeah. I know Goddard could always have a little flyer, but I mean, there's
I'm
a
dead
lot.
Wrong. Ches Reavie has a terrible course history. I don't know why I said that. That's a clear miss it. He missed the last two cuts, 48th before that, 37th, and then three straight missed cuts. So maybe that's why I wasn't on him in the end.
Good, I don't have to play him then. I mean, I know I'm just throwing out names right now. Last name I'm going to mention, and I realize he's still trying to come back from injury. Had a bad open, it happens. Looks like he missed on the number at Rocket Mortgage. 7,300 Harris English?
Yeah, I'm just kind of staying away.
Yeah.
But he's one of your Southeast Bulldogs, right? He's one of them island boys you're talking about.
Yeah, he fits the Southeast narrative.
I will avoid him.
I think we mentioned enough names in the 7K, unless you have somebody else.
I do not. Do you have a fade for me?
Oh, I don't have the heart to say, Ricky. Andrew Putnam. Was it like last year? There was a time I used Andrew Putnam a lot. Actually, starting to play a little bit better. 11th at 3M. But, you know, even at 3M, it was all putter. His irons just are not there. He's very putter reliant right now, and around the green reliance, and around the green is not important here. So, for me, it's Andrew Putnam.
I don't have a hard fade. I actually think Ches Reavie is actually a good fade because I thought I was going to be on him, and now I'm completely off of him. So, Ches is my fade.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I did think this would be a good course fit for him, too. That's what I got for you. Ready to go 6K?
Yes.
Skeeter.
I'm just turning this over to you. I have one guy starred. It's one of your guys. You actually, I'm looking right now. The 6K tier is your range. The 6,900 price point is your range. Like, you got some of your guys at 6,900, so I'm just going to shut up and the floor is yours, James.
I mean, he's not been great lately. But Anirban Lahiri
at 6,900. Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, we're just getting started. Anirban Lahiri is somebody I will entertain at 6,900. There's a silver medalist who got a hole-in-one last week who's made a couple of cuts now in a row. That's one Rory Sabatini who, oh, by the way, has a decent little course history here as he is, well, he's not the other Rory here, but he had a 10th. He had a 6th. He had a 4th. Those are 3 of his last 5 finishes here. So Rory Sabatini, who's made 2 cuts in a row, and he had a glorious ace, the Silver Sabs. He's a nice play at 6,900. Do you know who else is in the 6,900 range?
That's my favorite guy.
He was 31st at Barracuda. He was 10th at Rocket Mortgage. 4 consecutive rounds in the 60s. 67, 69, 69, 67. That's a palindrome, folks, for you at home. It's the Seagull. It's Charlie Hoffman. My man is back at 6,900, loaded up. He was 250-1 last week. I only get him at 150-1 so far where I'm looking this week. It's okay. It's Charlie Hoffman. He's obviously the number one play in 6K.
I found somebody else at 6,900 who I'm going to use as not one of the guys you've mentioned. He's made 6 cuts in a row. Good irons, good off the tee. Potter's been But coming off of 24th at Rocket Mortgage and 26th at 3M Open, you know, he kind of starts running the U.S. Open. Hayden Buckley, like, he's making cuts, and I mean, he's not making cuts at 50. He's got some 20s at 30s at 6,900. That is a great value.
Man, you could really save a lot of money, and gosh, you could almost just, like, cash out and have another 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 left in your build and just go all 6K guys here.
Now, that seems a little... It's a little bold.
Well, you're right. Maybe you dig down, you get Jimmy Herman, won this thing a couple of years ago, and then you go up there and you pay for Sung J.M. and Shane Lowry. I don't know.
That is an interesting build, though. The stars are scrubs.
What if you wanted to go to Jason Duffner? We mentioned some other guys. The Duff's got a really good course history here, and he is also at 6,200.
Pass.
Yeah, I think we said this like 2 weeks ago, and he didn't make the cut, too, by the way.
What's the yardage on this course again?
7,100.
Okay, anytime we see short course, who's another guy that we typically think of who's usually in the 6s or maybe low 7s?
I mean, there's a lot of names that are going to come at you now. Ryan Armour, Brian Gay.
Yes, Ryan Armour.
Okay, I know Brian Gay's not even in the field.
Before his missed cut last year, his previous 4 years, 25th, 22nd, 8th, and 4th, like, he does have a tendency to pop it or show up at some of these shorter course events, so I think he's in play at 6,700. What the heck's going on with Lucas Glover? Man,
6,700. You're asking me?
Oh, he's missed 4 cuts in a row. Well, 2 on the number.
That's how he gets on the ban list right there, dog.
You had him on the ban list after Palmetto.
He was actually on the ban list before then. I took him off the ban list, and that's when he got back on it. So he is a multiple-time offender.
Is he in Justin Rose territory?
He and Justin Rose have a room together.
Hey, you know who we don't have to worry about anymore, speaking of people who referred us over and over again? Paul Casey!
No, we don't. Paul Casey's always smiling, and now he's got a big fat pocket for a reason why.
Well, he can't hurt us anymore except at majors.
We'll see. Paul Casey might hurt me again sometime. I have a feeling he will. I don't think he's done with my soul yet. He likes to watch me cry and smile while he's doing it.
Wow.
Skeeter, you got anything else for 6K?
No.
Do you have a fade for me?
Oh, I'm sure I can find one. Oh! Didn't even know he was in the field. Two gloves, Tommy Gein.
I really don't have a fade. Yeah. I'm going to fade Doc Redman, who actually made the cut at Rocket Mortgage.
What happened to him? Man,
I don't know. I feel like this was a place he played well not too long ago.
3 years ago, I played him all the time.
Yes, he was third here in 2020. He's had three missed cuts besides that.
I love playing Doc Redman. He was always in the sevens. He was always making cuts and was actually scored and made a lot of birdies, too.
Skeeter, do we have anything further discussed from the DraftKings?
No, there's one guy I wanted to look up real quick.
All right.
Popped here before, but I could be wrong. No, it's not. Okay. It's 6,100. I'm assuming he's not been doing anything good recently. No, he hasn't made a cut in calendar year 2022. But he's made a cut all four times here at this event. 51st, 42nd, 19th, and 57th. 6,100 if you want to play pure course history, Andrew Landry. But that's hard to recommend when he hasn't made a cut this calendar year.
I will not do that. I will leave it for you. I mean, it was plus one at Rocket Mortgage.
I'm not playing him. That's not good. He's missing cuts badly. So I don't know if he's maybe battling an injury or something else going on. But oh, and by the way, everybody mentioned 6,900. We didn't mention Hank Liviota, who I know missed a cut last week, but he'd been making cuts before.
I haven't been really using him in our league unless I've been forced to.
All right, so the all $6,900 lineup: Lahiri, Buckley, I'm throwing Liviota, Sabatini, Hoffman. So we get to pick between Schwab, Hadley, and Wu.
I've used some Brandon Wu. When did I use Brandon Wu? I don't know when I used him, but I did use him.
I always get him and Dylan Wu confused.
Didn't we look it up and they're brothers?
Could be. Okay, he was second at Mexico 6 at Genesis. Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, I will let you play that lineup, Skeeter.
I'm not going to. I'm just.
I have a 25-cent ticket. Maybe I'll play it there. Skeeter, let's take the turn to one and done. Mm-hmm. You make that sound, but I know you're still cashing.
I am, but it just has not gone very well recently.
It never started good for me this year. I currently have Brendan Todd in there. I'm considering Denny McCarthy. I am way outside, and I'm just looking to be the guy who pulls the rabbit out of his hat and still doesn't quite get me into the money because playing any chalky guys, which, oh, by the way, what chalky guys do you have? I mean, who has M. Lowry, Zalatoris, Horschel? Who has those guys left? Would you dare use Webb Simpson? Everybody else and their mom's been saving them for this one.
Unless you use him with John Deere like me and got nothing out of him. That was fun. I actually have Billy Horschel still left.
I used him at the Honda.
For me, it's Horschel, Kim, or Kisner.
I like Siwoo, but I like Billy too. Siwoo's just hard to get off that course history, and he's got a knack for playing well where he plays well.
You know, I tend to think he might be a little...
He might be really popular for people because he's still 88% available.
Correct.
And people who have saved, waited for Webb and maybe go, do I really want to use Webb? Siwoo could get popular.
Right. Those are the three I'd consider. Kisner, Siwoo, and Horschel.
I have just changed my pick to Adam Scott. That just makes too much sense not to use him right here.
I mean, JT Poston is another intriguing one.
Poston's not a bad play. No, those guys sit in the same... No, I'm going Adam Scott. I changed my mind. I'm going Adam Scott.
Hold on. Have you used Charlie Hoffman yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me figure out where I used him. Let me tell you where. Let me continue to scroll. I used him. Oh, I used him at the John Deere. So I used James. You used James Frederick Webb Simpson there. I used one Charlie the Seagull Hoffman.
I mean,
if I use Charlie Hoffman, yeah.
I mean, two guys you mentioned, if you really want to get bold, Brendan Todd and Callum Tarran.
Todd I had. Tarran I would consider, too. I might bet Todd and Tarran. Or Tarum. Adam Scott just seems like... I don't know. I'm sticking with Scotty right now.
Yeah, you do whatever you want.
I may as well. It's not working out.
Yeah.
Skeeter, you got anything else for me on the Wyndham?
I don't. Ready for the playoffs, and I think they've changed the schedule where it's not the Tour Championship, not Labor Day weekend. So, hey, we're actually going to get like an actual week off between the end of the season and the start of the new season.
I am very much looking forward to the playoffs. It's weird. Not too long ago, I didn't care one iota about the playoffs. I guess maybe I'm just looking forward to getting these really strong fields once or twice more before we get into football season and the fall swing. And, you know, we're just sitting there waiting around for the occasional nice tournament that happens until we get to, like, you know, Kapalua and Sony.
Right. And yeah.
So I am looking forward to the playoffs, but what can I say? The PGA got me to buy in. I didn't like them at first. I thought it was manufactured. It is manufactured, and here I am getting excited about it.
Well, maybe it's more now the fact that it's going to end before we get into main football draft and games. And so, you know, so it's kind of a natural end. And
it is good golf. In the end, it is great players playing great golf, that's like, always fun.
Like next week, you know, 125 or even the BMW with 70 is going to be. Whew.
Amen to that. Hopefully by then, Skeeter, I will have put together one of those best ball teams that makes a run all the way to the FedEx Cup.
That would be great.
It would be great. Make me feel better about golf this year.
Yeah.
Skeeter.
Saving the best for last.
I hope so. I certainly do. Just like Patrick Cantlay has been.
Or Finau.
Well, that's a, you know what? That's probably a better answer considering Cantlay's been very good over the last 2 months, but Finau's actually won. So you're right. That's
Cantlay,
a better answer.
Cantlay saved his best for the end last year, winning the BMW and Tour Championship.
Well, trust me. I'm liking that six pick on that Pup Cup where I can start like Cantlay, Xander, maybe try to get Finau in there if one of those two is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, or try to figure out who's going to be the random guy who gets hot.
Well, that's Charlie Hoffman, but he better win this week to get in.
Well, we need Charlie to win so we can better first-round leader at Augusta.
That's right. We need a whole lot before we get there.
That's right.
Skeeter, you got anything else for me, my man?
I do not.
Good luck to you. Good luck to everybody. Thank you for listening. And we'll be talking playoffs in just a short week as we wrap up the regular season with the Wyndham Championship. So hopefully we're talking about winners in a week from now. Good luck to you. Good luck to everyone. Thanks for listening. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, my fantasy fix, DFS Golf Podcast.